So I'm honored to introduce Venerable Carla Pierce, who is a therapist with over 20 years experience. I'm just aging you here, Carla, working in the nonprofit, in government and private sectors, providing mindfulness training, intervention counseling, and suicide prevention. She's worked with many hundreds of people at risk of suicide and has extensive professional experience in suicide prevention and intervention. She was ordained in 2009 and has spent extensive time in Asia. She's an FPMT registered teacher and currently works for Karuna Hospice in Australia. She's an accredited facilitator for both Building Balanced Empathy and 16 Guidelines. And she's a wonderful person. I love her dearly. She's contributed so much in the earlier days of FDCW. She was a part of the same advisory group that I was part of. So we had many, many hours of talking over the internet. So over to you, Carla. Thank you so much.
Okay. Okay. Excellent. No matter how many times we do these Zoom meetings, just it always, anyway. Okay. So the topic that we're, and what, thank you everybody for having me, waving from Australia. So thank you for the invitation. Make sure that I'm in the picture. I'm on my phone as well, so I'm holding it up. So I hope my arm doesn't get too tired. I haven't got a gadget. So we're talking about adapting, how we adapt the 16 guidelines. And I think in the 10 years that I've been presenting the 16 guidelines, the thing that I've really, I guess, come to see as the most beneficial in terms of how I do presentations is when I do it combined with mindfulness. I actually have adapted it. I guess I need to clarify what I actually adapt is not the content. For me, it's like if I can't do all 16, I don't do it. So I haven't actually adapted the content. I adapt how I go about presenting it. So I guess, first of all, I'll talk about the various ways that I've done presentations over the years. And I very much adapt it in terms of the needs of the students or the needs of the participants. So whatever it is that they need in terms of organizationally or time-wise, then that's how I work. So I work specifically from the perspective of providing it for the benefit of the participants. So I've done it in a number of different ways. Probably the majority of ways that I do the presentation is over a weekend. So I do all I do 8 in one weekend, and then I'll do maybe a month or two later, I'll do the other 8. I quite like it that way because that gives the participants time to practice before they come back and do the second lot of 8. And the way that we've done it when I presented it at Chenrezig is that what we would just make sure that we do is that we do 4 weekends in a 12-month period. And what that means is that if people can't come to the first 8 but can come to the second 8, then they'll always be the first 8 again, you know, at some point during the year, so that within that 12 months, they'll get to do all 16 of the guidelines. So that's sort of like quarterly. We would do one weekend a quarter. So that's the way that we've done it mostly up at Chenrezig when I've done it on the numerous occasions there. Also, we did at Chenrezig quite early in the piece, but I've done this with a couple of other organizations, is that we did one guideline a week for 16 weeks. So we did it at Chenrezig in an evening, but I've also done it in private enterprise for as a staff professional development, also just one guideline a week for 16 weeks. I've also presented it one day This was also a professional development scenario where I would just do one theme a day, one day a week for 4 weeks. So really for me, and sort of a variety of other, you know, in other ways as well. So for me, it's much more about what is the best way to get all 16 guidelines for the particular organization or the particular group that I'm presenting for. But I think even though the 16 guidelines is always effective, you know, from my perspective, it probably is the best program in the world. I absolutely adore it. And there is no doubt that the 16 guidelines is transformative for some people, like absolutely transformative, at least in my experience. But where I have really found the greatest transformation for people is when I do the 10-day retreat at Kopan Monastery in Kathmandu. And what we do is we combine the 16 guidelines with mindfulness. And the mindfulness that we use is a much more thought-oriented mindfulness, so that people can actually start, you know, getting a sense of their thought processes, their narratives, how they, and then that sort of related to the presentation of the guidelines. Because for me, you know, it's very difficult to genuinely practice the 16 guidelines without mindfulness. But a lot of people still have this impression of mindfulness being, you know, drinking a cup of tea mindfully or just sitting and being still. And I mean, that's mindfulness. I mean, that's, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the real benefit of mindfulness is, you know, really working with the mind, recognizing how the mind engages with the world, how your thoughts engage with the world. And I guess for me, adapting it to include, you know, the 16 guidelines and mindfulness has made it really, really powerful. Because people start to see their conditioning. You know, people start to really recognize, you know, their influences, what's influenced them to think a particular way. So if you look at the, you know, the guideline of patience, for example, you know, people might regard themselves as patient people. But if you combine mindfulness and starting to really see the stories about patience or impatience, and then the practice of patience, it really just takes, for me anyway, in my experience, is that it really takes the 16 guidelines to a deeper level, you know, and that you can do this with every single one of them. The other really nice thing I think about mindfulness, particularly in relation to thoughts and emotions and those sorts of things, so mindfulness of that, is that when you look at some of the guidelines, you know, people can really start to get a sense of their own values and beliefs around it. So if you look at a guideline, for example, like loyalty, you know, loyalty is such an, or even respect, you know, these are such interesting words because our interpretation of these words are so based on, for the majority of us, on how we've been conditioned to perceive these words, whether respect is something important, necessary or not, you know, whether loyalty is something positive or negative. And when you bring in the component of mindfulness as well, it really helps people to recognize how influential certain people, environments, institutions have been in developing those, you know, those values, those beliefs, those perceptions. And so really when you do the discovery through the 16 guidelines, through the discussion, you know, my observation is that people just get a far deeper sense of what the guidelines are about and then how they thought that they may have applied the guidelines versus how they might in future apply the guidelines. And so I think doing a 10-day course combining with mindfulness, you know, they really start to get an idea of, you know, whether or not they are really practicing the guidelines or whether they're kidding themselves, I guess. So for me, the 10-day, and just tell me when I'm running out of time. I know I have a time limit. So do me a little wind up. Somebody do me a little wind up sign. So for me, the 10 days and combining it with mindfulness really just is an adaptation that even though you need the longer period of time, just gives the opportunity to explore it in a, you know, such a depth. And I think that's why it can be so transformative. I mean, it can be equally as transformative, you know, in the you know, one guideline in a 2-hour session or something like that. There's no doubt about that as well. But I think just being in the retreat format, there is a closeness that's developed that develops, you know, necessarily as a result of being in a retreat style of environment. That often, if you're just doing like a 2-hour session, where people are coming and going all of the time and not getting the same sort of opportunity to engage with each other and explore it more deeply. Because there's no doubt in the retreat format, they talk about stuff afterwards. So it's not just the sessions, you know, it's like they'll talk about it over the meal times, or there'll be, you know, the questions, you know, that we develop for the discussion. And I guess the other thing for me as well is what I change based on the presentation is the questions, the discussion questions, because I will adapt that depending on the dynamic of the group or the composition of the group sometimes. So I may change that because I can be quite forthright if I've got a group that seem to be really, really open really quickly, you know, then I'll be, you know, we'll have, you know, quite challenging, really challenging questions. Whereas sometimes if the group seems a little bit more tentative or a little bit more conservative, you know, in the beginning, I might be a little bit more gentle. I'll get to the challenging questions, but I might be a little bit more gentle. So I have a sort of a basis, I guess, for the discussion groups, but I adapt that dependent on, you know, the dynamic of the group and the, you know, the participants. So I guess for me, adapting it is much more about the content so much as the presentation. Like I said, I'll never not do all 16. And that's because I don't want to be the one to choose. You know, I don't know, you know, what little karmic seed might ripen for a participant. You know, so if I'm the one who's trying to say, well, I'm only going to do these 4 or 6 or whatever, you may be missing just, you know, the one guideline that might resonate with somebody at this moment in their life. And that's why for me, if I do it, it's all 16. And I try and just find a way that will work for the group of people who are wanting to understand and learn and practice. Can I also just say at this juncture, I love the app. And I tell everybody about the app, and I think it's still going. It was offline for a while in January, because when I talked about it in January, we had a bit of trouble finding it, and then it came. So maybe you were doing some updating. But the app is great, and I really encourage people to use that app because it keeps people, it reminds. So I really, we try and download it before the course finishes. So they've all got it on their phones when they're allowed to have their phones. So yeah, I really also encourage people to you know, recommend the app. It's very, very good. I don't know. Are you there, Wendy? Because yes. My time
you're fine.
Is up.
Would you like some questions now? Or
yes, sure.
Okay, sure. Everyone. So far away, what questions have you got for Venkala? We've got about 5-10 minutes we can have on questions. So either write them in chat or just unmute yourself and fire away. I have to say, Venkala, I love your enthusiasm. You know, thank you so much. It just feels inspirational. I want to rush out and do another course, you know. So thank you for that. Yes, questions. Marianne, thank you.
Thank you for both of you, Wendy and Carla, for this beautiful presentation. My question is regarding what you explained, Carla. I didn't quite get it. When you were saying that you would do it in 12 months, the 16 latitudes, and there was some kind of rotation so that someone who had done it could do it after or before.
So the way that we do it, if we do it over a weekend, so we'll do the first two themes on one weekend and then we'll do the second two themes on the second weekend. But what I will do is that I will do 4 weekends in a year. So it means that some people may be able to come to the first one but not come to the second. And so at the end of the year, they'll come to the second one. So I just do 2 rounds of it in case people can't, you know, manage. And then that, you know, for me, it doesn't matter whether they start with the first 8 or the second 8, so long as they get all 16. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Sorry if I didn't make that very clear.
Annelies, is that your hand? Yeah.
So thank you so much, Venerable Carla. I wonder, did you already present online?
No, I have not done online. And only because, you know, for me, the real, and this is my stuff, I understand that, and I'm going to do Building Better Empathy online, and I'm about to do some mindfulness online, so I will progress through this. But I'm so much into, you know, like touch and connection and energy, and so I've been a little bit nervous about doing the 16 guidelines online simply because my process is a very energetic process. And I think there are limitations to that online. You know, I think for me, it's very much about, it's a very heart connected thing and very relational. And so, So I've been a little bit, I don't know that I would use the word reluctant, but perhaps a little nervous about doing it online because also because I've only got a telephone that I have to hold up here. So I need to get one of those gadgets. I've thought about it, but it's more about me and my stuff.
Annelies, did you have a specific question about online delivery?
No, I think because I can imagine that it is also very different apart from what Neville Carla says quite rightly and recognizable. Like I was wondering how did you adjust in that way? But I guess we all know that it is so different. So I was just curious what your experience has been.
I mean, I'll be interested also with the Building Better Empathy. I'm going to try and talk to Wendy about that. But I think these ones that are very, you know, for me, the 16 guidelines is a really heart-driven program and process. And for me, the process is probably the most important thing, you know. You know, the actual content is almost secondary. You know, it's actually the process of discussion and the process of awareness. And I think, you know, to get the same depth online, I'm not convinced.
I look forward to hearing how you feel after a few times of doing it.
Yes,
but I do understand your reluctance. Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Some questions?
I have a question.
Thanks, Robin. Yeah.
Thanks, Venerable Carla. Nice to see you again.
Yes, thank you.
You mentioned that, you know, you've done 16 guidelines at Kopan, and I know people come from all over the world and many different cultural backgrounds to that situation. So I'm just wondering, I mean, we talk about universal education as being accessible and applicable to people from all cultures, but we're all in many ways very culturally specific shaped. And I just wonder what kinds of, well, first of all, how you find that out about the people who are in the course, and then, you know, what kind of adaptations you make to take into consideration people's cultural backgrounds?
I actually do none. I mean, particularly at Kopan, what's fascinating, I mean, the course that I've had the most different cultures was, I think we had about 125 or 130 people, and there were 100 different cultures. It was like amazing. And I don't adapt at all to, the only thing I do is try and speak slowly. Because my accent, even the Aussie accent, can be a bit challenging for people. So, but in terms of the process or in terms of the presentation, the way that we do the discussion, I encourage them to talk about their own cultural perspective. So it's more just that, you know, I encourage their cultural point of view, but I also, you know, what I want them to do is really recognize that that culturalness isn't inherent. You know, it's like something that, again, like we've all been conditioned or we've all been influenced. And for me, it's like the different cultures makes it really rich, because it's amazing then how people go, you know, oh my goodness, I can't believe that they would see this in that particular way. Huh. You know, and it's just like, for me, it's a really beautiful opportunity for people to stop being judgmental. And again, the beauty of doing it with mindfulness is that you explore some of those sorts of things in the days that are not guidelines. And the way that I do the 10 days is that, you know, I'll do a couple of days of mindfulness, and then we'll do maybe a day of 16 G's, and then we'll go back and do another couple of days of mindfulness, and another, then we might do 2 days of 16 G's. And even that I adapt. So dependent on, you know, how the group is, you know, whether they're retaining information or not. And even that, you know, every course might be a little bit different. So even how that flows, I will change every course. Yes, I mean, culturally, I don't do anything specific. I just encourage them to really listen and to consider the cultural influence on whatever guideline it is that we're exploring.
Thank you.
Thank you. Marin, I think your hand was up.
Yes. Hi, Venerable Carla. Nice to see
you. Hi. Hello.
Hi there. I thought it was really interesting that you, over the 12-month period with the four sessions, I'm just curious, when you introduced the wisdom themes, for me, there's a sequence to those, you know, from how we think, et cetera, to act, to... And I wonder how that works when people come maybe into the second of those sessions, so they're halfway through the wisdom theme kind of sequencing. Mm. Does that, how do you be interesting to hear how you cope with
that. Yeah, I mean, I know that it goes how we think, how we act, how we relate, and then how we find meaning. But it doesn't seem to be, I don't think that sequence is of vital importance. For me, the process that we use in looking at each guideline, whether you're starting with how we relate to others and then come back to the how we think and how we act, I mean, probably the majority of people would do it in the right order. So you might get 20% of people that don't, perhaps 30%. But for those who aren't, it doesn't seem to make a great deal of difference. The meaning in the guidelines is just generally so profound that they just want to come back and do the, you know, what they missed. So I've not found difficulty in that to date. And there's not been anything sort of in the feedback that would suggest that they think it's awkward or that it doesn't fit. So from my side, I've had no problem with that.
Brilliant. Thanks for that.
Maybe if you did it closer together, you know, maybe if they did the, you know, if they started at the how we relate to others and then moved into how we find meaning on one weekend and then very closely went back to how you think and how you act, perhaps that may be. But because there's generally, you know, there'll be several months, I guess. It'll be at the first half of the year and the second half of the year. So it's probably enough of a break that they get to practice those eight without, you know, reflecting too much on the flow of the themes. But I've never had any negative feedback at all about that. Great. So yeah,
thanks, that's helpful. Thank you
Venkala.